Amen. God bless you, Brother Chris. Brothers and sisters, if you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to invite you to find John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you have been tuning in to my video devotionals this past week, we have been in Matthew's Gospel. And on Sunday mornings here at Emory Baptist Church for a number of weeks, we have been studying Mark's Gospel. And if you were able to catch Brother Ronnie's video for our Sunday school lesson today, that was in Luke's Gospel. And so it only seemed appropriate that we consider John's Gospel on this resurrection morning. To say that this Easter 2020, is different is quite the understatement. It's still hard for me to wrap my mind around how this microscopic virus that originated on the other side of the world has affected our entire world to the degree that even though we are worshiping virtually this morning with the body of Christ around the world, we are unable to worship in person. However, I am so grateful and thankful again for the technology that enables us to join our hearts virtually this morning, on resurrection morning, as we worship the risen Christ. And so because Easter 2020 is different, I'm going to share with you a different message this morning, a different sermon. As I want to share with you what I'm thankful for on this Easter 2020. If you have found John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, follow along as I read through verse 31, which is the entire chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head and lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things. He had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. As we consider the resurrection story from John chapter 20, I want you to first of all know this morning that this Easter, I am thankful that the message is true. I'm thankful that the message of Easter is true. Verse 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene, on the first day of the week, being Sunday, was on her way to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. And the reason that she was going to the tomb was to anoint Jesus' body to counteract the odor that she was expecting to smell. More than likely, she wasn't alone. There more than likely were other women with her. But they came to the tomb, and verse 2 says she ran, verse 1 says the stone had been taken away. And we know from Matthew's gospel that an earthquake had occurred and an angel had rolled the stone away from the tomb, not to let Jesus out, brothers and sisters, but to let the witnesses in. Evidently, Mary was not interested in talking to the angel at that particular point in time, because verse 2 says, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. And if you're not familiar with John's gospel, that is John's way of referencing himself, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, here's what Mary said at the end of verse 2, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Mary thought that Jesus' body had been stolen. Verses 3 and 4 are some of the more comical verses in all of the New Testament. As John describes this experience of he and Peter running to the tomb, verse 3, "Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciple, John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first." Brothers and sisters, this is my 15th Easter sermon. And in all 15 years, and surely I must have seen this commentary previously, but as I was studying this week, I was reading one particular commentary on John chapter 20 that evidently said that evidently Peter was older and heavier, and that's why John outran him to the tomb. Maybe That is true. And John, stooping down in verse 5 and looking in, saw the linen cloths, yet he did not go in. But Peter, verse 6, came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Much has been made about the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus. And simply what I want you to know is that, like the tomb, the grave clothes were empty. They did not hold Jesus' body any longer. Perhaps he just simply passed through them in his resurrected state. Verse 8, then the other disciple who came to the tomb went him also, and he saw and believed. I want you to note something very interesting here about the word saw, S-A-W. We see it in verse 5, John stooped down and looking in, saw. Now, in our English translations, three different times, you'll see the word saw. That's the way this word is translated. But in the language of the New Testament, this is actually three different words. In verse 5, John stooped down and looking in, he saw with a glance, briefly, momentarily. And then at the end of verse 6, it says that Peter saw, but he saw long enough to observe. And then in verse 8, John saw and he believed. He believed that the message of Easter is true. He believed that Jesus' body had not been stolen, but Jesus' body had been resurrected. And so I am grateful and thankful on this Easter that the message of Easter is true. Brothers and sisters, I'm also thankful on this Easter for relationships that we have. For relationships that we have. Verse 11 says that Mary stood outside the tomb and she was crying, and she stooped down and she looked into the tomb and she saw the two angels that were there. One at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then the angels began speaking to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord and I do not know where they laid him." But not only does Mary have a conversation with the angels, I'm grateful and thankful that she has a brief conversation with Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Now, perhaps the reason that Mary did not know that it was Jesus, perhaps because it was still too dark. Perhaps because of the tears that were flooding her eyes. Perhaps it was because of providential blindness. But regardless, she didn't recognize it was Jesus until the shepherd spoke her voice. The sheep recognized the voice of her shepherd because of their relationship. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Teacher." I'm thankful for the relationship that Mary and Jesus had with one another. I'm thankful for the relationship that Mary had with Peter and John, to the degree that she perhaps ran past the angel and needed to go and to tell the leaders of the disciples what had taken place. And brothers and sisters, I'm grateful and thankful for our relationships that we have at Emory Baptist Church. I am saddened that we cannot be together in person today on this Easter Sunday. But because of the relationships that we have, I am so looking forward to when we can worship together again in person. Yes, we can call, and yes, we can email, and yes, we can text, and yes, we can see on video and FaceTime and Zoom and YouTube. But because of our relationships, I look forward to when we can be in person again. I'm thankful that the message is true. I'm thankful for the relationships that we have. Number three, I'm thankful for the family that we're in. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, evidently Mary fell at Jesus' feet, clinging perhaps to his feet, to his ankles, to his lower legs. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father." You see, Jesus had a heavenly Father. Jesus even says that his heavenly Father is our heavenly Father. They were family, and we are family. I know that this COVID-19 crisis has allowed the opportunity for families to spend more time together than they had been doing previously. And for some, I know that has been a big change, perhaps even a negative change. But I want you to know I'm grateful and thankful for my family. I'm grateful and thankful that I've had the opportunity to spend more time with them recently. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my daughters. And beyond that, I'm thankful for my biological family. And I'm thankful for my church family. On this Easter, I'm thankful for family. On this Easter, I'm also thankful for salvation. Look at verse 19. The same day at evening, so still on Sunday, but just later in the day, in the evening, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled or where they were gathered for fear of the Jews. They were together, but they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid that they would experience the same fate that Jesus had experienced 3 days previously, especially if the Jews thought they were guilty of stealing Jesus' body. Jesus came, and he stood in the midst and said to them, and he says this twice to them, once in verse 19 and then in verse 21, "Peace be with you." And then in verse 21, "Peace to you." You see that the reason that Jesus went to this group is because they were saved. They had put their faith and trust in Christ. Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They had just recently seen him there in Jerusalem. They had seen him hanging on the cross, but now they saw him resurrected. And again, on those two different occasions, he says, "Peace be with you," or "peace to you." And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we know this to be true, that we cannot have the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension until we are at peace with God through faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Jesus says, "Because you are saved," in verse 21, "I am sending you out." And did you know, brothers and sisters, that is still true for us today? Because we are saved, God is sending us out. He's sending us out to be witnesses of the gospel. He's sending us out to be witnesses of the resurrected Christ. He saved us in order to send us. Also, on this Easter, I am thankful for security. I'm thankful for security. Verse 22, and when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus giving the disciples a foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is our strength when he sends us to be witnesses unto all of the world. But the Holy Spirit not only is our strength, but he is our security, because he is the seal over our hearts. And we know that we will persevere through the end, not because of anything that we will do or not do, but because the Holy Spirit secures us for eternity. And on this Easter, I'm grateful and thankful for that security. I'm also grateful and thankful on this Easter for forgiveness. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, please don't misunderstand this morning. Jesus was not giving those first century disciples, nor has he given us today, the ability to grant forgiveness. Only God can do that. But he has given us the responsibility of announcing forgiveness. Announcing that forgiveness has come to this one or that one because of the faith that they have put in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm grateful and thankful that someone announced to me some 35 years ago that forgiveness had been granted to me. Not because of anything that I'd done, not because of anything that I hadn't done, but because I put my faith and trust in Christ. My sins were forgiven. And that's the message that we have to share with people today. Sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, for anyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ. Number 7, on this Easter, I'm thankful for Thomas, often called Doubting Thomas, and rightfully so. We see there in verse 25, Thomas said probably what we would have said, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Doubting Thomas, he had not seen. Therefore, he doubted. And so often, we think the same. We speak the same. If we don't see, we doubt. I'm grateful and thankful on this Easter for Thomas and his honesty, his sincerity, even his questioning. Number 8, I'm thankful for faith. I'm thankful for faith. In verse 29, Jesus said, after appearing to Thomas, and after allowing him to put his hand in the nail print and in his side, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But listen to this. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, faith is a gift. It is a gift from God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith is a gift. And I'm grateful and thankful that 35 years ago, God gave me the gift of faith. On this Easter, I'm grateful and thankful for faith. Number 9, I'm grateful and thankful for the Bible. Verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. I rather suspect that most everyone, if not everyone, tuning in this morning has a copy of God's Word. And if you're like me, you probably have multiple copies in different translations. And yet all of the copies that we have, regardless of translation, for most of us are in our native language, in English. So we have a copy of God's Word or multiple copies of God's Word in our own language. John tells us that Jesus did many other miracles. He did many other signs and wonders that aren't contained in our Bibles. But I'm grateful and thankful that everything that we know and everything that we've read and everything that we have seen this morning, we know because of the biblical record. And we'll have the opportunity to read it later today. We'll have an opportunity to read it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. On this Easter, I'm grateful and thankful for the Bible. And then finally, number 10, I'm grateful and thankful for life on this Easter. Not physical life, although I am grateful for that. But look at verse 31. Verse 31, John is speaking of eternal life. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, eternal life, in His name. I've referenced on several occasions this morning something that happened in my life 35 years ago. It was April the 2nd, 1985, when as a 10-year-old boy, I admitted that I was a sinner. And I believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in my place on Good Friday. And I confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. And then on Easter Sunday, 1985, I was baptized. I was baptized not to be saved, but because I was saved. And because I was saved, I received forgiveness of sin, heaven, eternal life, and was now a child of God. Can you say that this morning about your own experience? Can you say that this morning about your own life? Have you received eternal life because you've put your faith and trust in Christ? This Easter, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And so as I have done in previous Sundays, in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to be praying what you may call a sample prayer or a sinner's prayer. And it's not the words that are so much important as the sentiment behind the words. And so if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I'm going to invite you, when I'm praying in just a moment, to just simply repeat after me. You can say them out loud or you can say the words silently to yourself. But the most important thing is that you mean them from your heart. And so wherever you may be this morning, would you bow your heads and close your eyes at this time? And if you have never received eternal life through Jesus Christ, would you just simply pray something like this? Dear Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I know that I am lost. And I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. Please take all of my sin away. And please, Jesus, come into my heart and into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. And I will do the best I can in living a life that is honoring of you. Amen. I want you to know that if you prayed that prayer this morning, either by repeating after me or in your own words, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it from your heart, then you were saved. You received forgiveness of sin, heaven, and eternal life, because Jesus is now your Lord and your Savior. We want to know about that here at Emory Baptist Church. We want to celebrate with you. We want to pray with you and for you. We want to counsel you. We want to help in discipling you. And so please let us know. You can do that on our Facebook page. You can do that on our church website by sending us an email. You can call us at our church office and let us know. Send us a text message if you have those numbers. But please let us know if you have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life on this Easter Sunday. And brothers and sisters, if you already know Christ as Savior and Lord, then please know, just as Jesus sent these first disciples, Jesus is sending you today. He saved you to send you. And so whether it be online or through an email or a phone call, or perhaps if you were to see someone in person today or in the coming days, I hope and pray that you will take seriously the responsibility to be a witness for Christ to the ones that God has providentially put in your path. We're so grateful and thankful that you've chosen to worship with us on this Easter Sunday. We hope and pray that the Lord has been glorifying. Brothers and sisters of Emory Baptist Church, please continue to stay connected with us through our Facebook page. Please remember to be faithful and generous in your giving, whether it's bringing your tithes and offerings by the church office, mailing them to P.O. Box 248, using your online banking service, or our website, emorybaptist.org. We're so grateful and thankful for your faithfulness and your generosity in these very different times. God bless you. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Happy Easter to you from Emory Baptist Church.